Hello and welcome to Artists Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
This is an episode about exhibitions and putting our art on display. Pablo Picasso once said, painting is just another way of keeping a diary. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about exhibitions and putting our art on display. And actually, one of us has a show coming up.
Yay!
And that would
you
be
sound
Stephanie.
So thrilled, Stephanie.
She's a little bit timid. She's looking at her spreadsheet going, where am I in this?
Well, yeah.
I know you have a spreadsheet, girl.
No, if I did, I wouldn't feel so bad right now.
Okay. First off, when is your show?
Well, we put up November 20th and take down, I think it's February 3rd. It was something that we planned, that me and the mouse in my pocket planned, I think it was last year, and that I got accepted to do the exhibition at Low Mill. And like a lot of these exhibitions, they plan like well into a year in advance. So it's kind of tricky, I think.
So it's going to be at Low Mill over the winter. So it's like 8 weeks, 6 weeks?
Yeah, no. I think 6 weeks,
eight
maybe.
Weeks, I don't know.
Well, it starts November 20th and it ends February 3rd. So it's like 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
A long time.
And you're going to be downstairs in one of the larger displays.
Yeah.
So you're going to have two massive walls.
Yeah.
A third wall and then part of a fourth wall.
Right.
Well, that's exciting. Do you know what you're going to be displaying?
I did 2 years ago, when I
well, what were you talking about? What were you thinking about at the time?
So I submitted this thing where it was the experience through the pandemic, in my artwork. And there was about 32 pieces that were going to go into the show. I now have some of them, and then some of them sold. So, but since then, I've also created more that's more in the style that came as an evolution of the pandemic. So okay. I think, they haven't, they being Low Mill, hasn't necessarily requested that I adhere to it, the original thought. So I think I'm going to be okay expanding it a little bit. So that's where my trepidation kind of comes from, is because I'm not 100%. What am I going to do? What am I going to show? And because I'm going through the original proposal that I sent them.
Right.
And yeah, there's quite a few pieces that I still have. But like the whole grief series is gone, except for the big one. And many of the flowers are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a lot of this I do have. So it's just going to have to be a little bit, I'm going to have to rethink it. And I've only got basically a week to rethink it before we have to put up.
Well, for the benefit of our listeners, why don't you talk about a little bit about the evolution that you're trying to present, the story you're telling, and then for those who are local or visiting, they can come see the actual imagery of it as well.
Okay. So it was 2019. I started experimenting a lot with different types of materials and trying to get a three-dimensional effect on my artwork and to create an illusion of movement in a different way, other than just going with a schemata and method where it's got diminishing edges and, creating that illusion of movement that way. I wanted a different way. So I started playing with three dimension, building oil layers upon acrylic, like glass type stuff, and working through that. So that was about 2019. And then when the pandemic hit, I'd painted like 30 something pieces in the first month because it was just such a time where you could just be by yourself, which was for us introverts is like amazing. And yep. So I painted like crazy, but it was all very simple, like just flowers, just a single flower, white background. And then I started combining animals and flowers. And so things started building. And then the more time that I had alone, I started building more stories of art, more stories using my art with animals and having the animals almost act like humans. And then and those stories really played a lot with what we were experiencing in the pandemic as a society, I guess, where the funny thing is as I was painting the stuff and kind of putting things together, I didn't really recognize what I was doing until I started journaling about it. And like one of the pieces is called, let me make sure I pull it up here. Oh, I feel like I'm going 90 miles a minute today. But it's called Are You Protected or Trapped? And it's a 30 by 30. Oh. And it's of our cat Cookie looking in on a mouse hole. And the mouse is sitting there with his little hands over his mouth and going, oh, you know, kind of scared. So, you know, you kind of go back to the pandemic. Were we really trapped or were we safe? Were we protected or were we, you know, so that was one that I was like, holy crap, look what I'm doing. And then the next one that kind of came in that series was who is ruling who? And I had Cookie, our cat Cookie. We played with her a little bit and my daughter down like on her knee and held her up where I could then take a picture of her looking down so I could bring her in my mind and then put it in a painting like she's dangling from a chandelier, and that chandelier is in our dining room, and there's chaos all around with Brownie, who's another animal, one of our animals, looking all passed out from a picture that I took from her like probably 2 years before. She's a black cat with little bat teeth, and so when she's like all sprawled out with her belly up wide open and her teeth all hanging out, she's I got those two. So Cookie's hanging from the chandelier. The cat, Brownie, is passed out. And then you got Bacon, our dog, who's on the floor looking up like, what in the world is happening? Because I was climbing on the furniture, taking pictures of him laying on the floor. And then Sophie, she was, when I was taking the picture of the chandelier, I was standing on the dining room table and Sophie's over to the left, just staring up at me, tail wagging like crazy. And so she's in it. All our animals are in it. And then I put mice everywhere. And that's why it's like, who's ruling who? The mice had won. And everybody else is just like, the dogs are, this is a chaos. One of them looks extremely happy about it. The cats are like, oh, what in the world is going on? How do I get down from here? So
who's ruling who? It's a funny painting. It is
awesome.
It's got so much personality.
It's pretty neat. And then the final of that series I actually did this year where Cookie, our cat, all I knew was I wanted an animal in a bird cage. And so I started flipping through my phone because, you know, we take like thousands of pictures and never delete a single one. And Emily happened to take a picture of Cookie cleaning herself. So she totally busted and pissed off look, and with her fat belly all exposed, and she's just looking at you like she's been kind of busted and angry about it.
She's looking at you like, what?
Yes. I was like, oh, this is perfect. I'm going to put her in the bird cage, and then I'm going to put the mice all around. Like, they finally won. And that one's called, I think that one's called Little People Won. So in this, it's actually very kind of funny in lighthearted imagery, but the political stuff kind of behind it and what's going on in my mind was like, when are the little people going to uprise? and, you know, capture those fat cats and tell them to get out of our lives.
Right.
Stop ruling us. We don't need to be ruled. And that was one of the series. And so all of this started kind of coming together when I actually started journaling about the artwork. Julie and I talked about it. I wanted an exhibition. I didn't. I'm like, you got to have a cohesive story. And she's like, you need to really kind of look at what you have. And it does make sense. So it was a matter of sitting down and actually looking at what I'm doing, writing about what I was doing.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, that you had your work and then you journaled about it. Like, you did your work and then you thought about it later and you were like, OK, yeah. What is this saying to me? And yeah. I love that, because some people work the opposite.
Yeah, I'm not that.
You know, strong. Some people want to go, I want to make a piece about turmoil or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, this is how I'm feeling right now. But you are like, I'm just painting, 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 painting. And it's almost like your brain had to catch up with what your body was doing. So that's kind of interesting.
I think there's a lot of, for me, there's a lot of subconscious work in my artwork. And I admire those who can actually take a concept. Like, they enter in those competitions all the time. Like, we're going to do a competition where or a show where the subject is blah. I don't know. Like what you were saying, turmoil in the women's society and blah, blah, blah. And and they are able to create something from that. I look at that stuff and go, I got nothing.
You like your work too. I can only think of a few pieces that don't fit this, what I'm about to say, but your work generally to me brings happiness and joy. Right. Like, you are like, because I mean, you do a lot of pets too. I mean, yeah. You don't, right. That's not all you do, but it definitely has that storytelling about it. And like, your middle finger, that's the only one I'm like, but even then, to me, it's playful.
There's a story there.
I mean,
there's a story, playful, yeah.
But it was so funny. I mean, it wasn't funny how it came about, but that one definitely came out of something that you were experiencing. So,
yeah.
It's interesting. So how many pieces do you have to have?
I don't even know. The original thought was 32 pieces, and I definitely still have like that, because since that time, I've come up with the Hummingbird series, which is also a little bit of a political statement, but through really pretty imagery of animals interacting with a hummingbird. And the hummingbird is the bringer of good news. And her good news, her name Harmony, her good news is so captivating, it even captivates the most nefarious foes, including like a big bear, which I didn't recognize when I was putting that together, that the bear was more represented Russia, and the bald eagle was sitting on top of the bear, representing the United States, and they're stopped listening, and they're stopped doing their thing, listening to a hummingbird who's trying to bring good news. And it was, so that series is new, that I'd like to see in the show.
Yeah, sure. I would like to see that too. I think that's a good series that you have.
Definitely. Yeah. The Hummingbird series is a great one.
Have you thought about doing like just individual pieces, like on the smaller walls, just to kind of say, here's who I am. I'm not necessarily a series, but I'm a little bit of everything.
Well, that's what the evolution kind of happened, was like with all the little things, like all the 10 flowers. And then there was the long neck series, which is four animals, total of 8 paintings, because the bottom part is part of the neck and the top part is part of the head.
Right.
So there was a bunch of little ones, but not necessarily like the 6x6s. I think the smallest is an 8x10 and the largest is Oh, yeah, that one's big.
Because don't you have some 36 smaller ones like your mice? Or aren't they like 6x6s?
I didn't plan on doing that.
Well, I was going to say, when you're doing an exhibition, and maybe this is just something I made up in my own head, but to me, it holistically needs to tell a story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you can't just put random pieces in that aren't part of that story.
Right.
Gotcha. Like, to me, the long necks don't necessarily fit what's going on with everything else.
With the harmony story.
Right.
Yeah. And that's part of the problem, because like when I first put it together, it was the story about the evolution of my art through the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's what I hate about exhibitions, that you've got to plan like a year to 2 years. I've changed and things have sold. Like, let's evolve here. let's be structured.
I was going to say, at this point, would you be willing to sort of recreate something, not recreate it, but reimagine it and paint it to just fit that series? Or would you just go, here's this series, and be done with it?
See, to me, I think you have plenty of stuff, even if you sold some of it, to still tell that story. Because he said the hummingbird series is still along that same storyline.
Yeah, I like the hummingbird. I think you should definitely put harmony in there.
Yeah, I think I probably have enough. The only ones that are not part of the original are probably some of the unicorn series and the grief series. I have 3 of the 5 of those.
And I was going to say, did you get those back from that? You had that show.
Probably. I don't know if I want to, though. Go through that work. And then I've some of the flowers, but it's not like I have to have 10 pieces of flowers, you know?
Right, exactly. I mean, the grief series, I think, is important because that was part of the pandemic and you evolving as an artist. I really think that series was a light switch moment for you.
Yeah. That had people in it too. That's the other thing significantly different about that one.
Yeah,
exactly. I think that's a highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So, let's see. I guess I would have to figure out.
It's so funny because like you said, this is like a year or 2 years ago and you really are in a different headspace. So what do you think you're going to do? Like, how are you going to approach this?
I think I'm going to not address the grief series and just kind of leave that one out, because I've got new pieces that will from the hummingbird series, and then the final piece that I didn't have but finished, but I had in my mind sort of. So those will take the place.
Yeah,
I'm okay. I think I've got the full load. It'll be good. And then
how many pieces will you have in it then?
Over 30.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's going to be so good. And so again, what are the dates?
I did pull it up. November 22nd through February 3rd. And so this week.
At Low Mill
on the first
floor. And what's the address?
2211 Seminole Drive. And
in
Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah.
And if you do come visit me in my studio in Studio 270. And I guess if I'll find out more, because I know I'm supposed to do some sort of presentation or like statement or something.
They have like artists open house.
Yeah. I think that's going to be on the February 3rd. And they sent me some spreadsheets I'm supposed to fill out. So there we go. And so they can make the labels, and they'll actually have like a catalog and a show postcard.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I got to come up with the artist statement. That's the other interesting thing. So when I submitted all this stuff, I submitted like a whole proposal with my artist statement, my bio, every piece as I wanted it on the wall. And with all the labels and everything. So thank God I did all that. Because it's gonna come in.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, normally, I mean, I'm trying to think of how Low Mills sets it up, and they have like one little wall with the artist statement that you find, and then the pieces are
labeled. All labeled. Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll take care of all that. I just need to get them a spreadsheet, and that'd be great. It'll be grand a little bit. This is the first one, and I think that I've done where I haven't controlled everything.
That's really exciting. We'll have to like at least do a quick video of it and put it up on the Facebook page or something.
Definitely.
So everyone can see, and maybe do it like after February. So it'll encourage everyone to come see it.
Yep.
And then if they missed it, they can see the video.
Well, I'm wondering, like, one of the things I was thinking and even considering is, I was looking at other exhibition spaces, and like they've got some in North or South Carolina. I don't remember which one, but I was looking at, I think it was Art Fields, F-I-E-L-D-S. I was looking at that, and the thought of shipping this stuff, ugh, that would just.
I wouldn't do it. If I would drive it.
Yeah.
It would have to be drivable for me so that I could take my pieces and leave them.
Yeah, I just wondered about there was another exhibition I was looking at in overseas, and to think about having to ship all that stuff.
I worry about that because our friend Jennifer, you know, she's lost several pieces because the gallery never sent them back.
Yeah.
Right. I forgot about that.
And I think that was. Maybe she just didn't pick the right gallery. I don't know. Like, you would think they would be upstanding and.
Yeah, but I've heard that story more than once.
Yes.
I've heard it multiple times.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me more nervous about an exhibition, because it's not always run by a gallery necessarily. Sometimes, you know, it may be, you know, a hotel or. Who has art exhibits, or, mm-hmm. you know, like our airport has an art exhibit.
I was thinking the same thing. And,
you know, it's not always a gallery that's doing it.
Yeah. It could be a coffee house or a,
right.
We were at a coffee house in Asheville, and they have like little local artist things on the wall. And I was like, oh, that's cute. I don't know if I would do that, but I don't know.
I worried there was one that I did. It was just here locally again with the library. And that one I was particularly worried about one piece, because again, it was a political statement and it was not a bless you. It was.
Did I mute myself?
No.
Dang it.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry. I was trying to mute myself.
They were delicate sneezes. You were fine.
So it's the local like library me. Does that. That's nice, though.
Yeah. So I was, but I was worried about one of them because it wasn't, it like these animal ones, they're kind of overt. Now she's sneezing like crazy. She made it mute herself that time.
Got in my nose.
But these animal ones, they're not overly overt on the, they're not overly, and you know, you can't tell I'm doing a political statement unless you actually read it and look at it. But the one that I had at the library, I was particularly worried about because it was a cotton field with this really pretty red old barn that we have here in Huntsville. And I put a rebel flag on the roof, and, because it was just, it was at a time when we were, the United States was going through, and it still might be going through it, I don't know, concerns about racism. And, well, that was a stupid statement. Of course, we're still going through that. But
right.
it was right after, like, some guy went into a church, some crazy redneck guy. And then we live in the South, so I can say that. And he like lit up some church. And
oh yeah, that was over in like South Carolina or something.
Yeah. A few
years back.
And everybody started going on uproar, like blaming a symbol of the American, the rebel flag, And I was just like, man, that's not the problem. It's kind of what that statement was about.
Well, and there was something in the news this week about, you know, those protesters in France. They keep protesting and they throwing stuff on paintings. And like this week they took hammers to this piece. It's like $90 million or something stupid, incredible. And and then they sat down and it was all over climate change. And like, what does this painting have to do with climate change?
Exactly.
Leave the art alone. Like, don't mess with it. Makes me so mad when they do stuff like that.
It's like gotten to the point where it's just a narcissistic behavior instead of addressing the issue in a mature adult manner and having a discussion and trying to work with the congressman or whoever's in charge. They just go.
Well, it upset me because it's like at the Louvre or somewhere. And I'm like, if you have a $90 million painting, would you not have security guards? I mean, it's like the Mona Lisa. The Mona Lisa has security guards. I mean, like.
Oh, all over the Louvre, there are security guys. And I mean, it's crazy secure, at least when I was there.
Even in Huntsville here, like even Huntsville's art museum, you get too close and they're like, what do you like about the painting? Like they'll engage you, you know, like and don't touch, you know. And yeah. I like that. I'm like, okay, good, you know, because
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, when I went to the, I think it was the MoMA, and they had the like a Van Gogh. I don't know, someplace in New York, and they had a Van Gogh, and I was like getting really kind of close because I wanted to see how thick the paint was.
The paint is really thick. Like, yes.
Right up. And like, you need to back off. And I'm sorry.
I did that in Houston. We were at the art museum there. And I was like, wait, let me look. And I was getting too close and the guard was coming over and John's like, back away. You're too close. And I'm like, wait, I just want to look. It's so cute.
Right. Don't put a body part over the line.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people have gotten kicked out before like getting too close.
Well, apparently in France, they don't really care.
I don't understand that.
Like, it was sledgehammers. They're walking in with a hammer. Like,
well, I guess maybe the security guard was like, well, they got a hammer.
And the cans of paint, like the red paint. That red paint that they did. I'm like, what? How did they hide that?
Well, in backpacks and stuff and bags. Yeah. Like a backpack, they'll make you carry it on the front. But I mean, you can put all that in a bag. It's not a big deal. But I don't know. There's so much security. It's crazy. So much security, especially at the Louvre and Musée du Orsay, which I probably didn't pronounce correctly. But it's crazy how much security there is. So it's amazing that they can get away with it.
I just had like a crazy thought. You know how like bad publicity is good publicity?
Yeah.
You could probably
my art.
I know. I could like arrange somebody to go throw crap on my art.
Yeah.
And then
I'm wondering.
You should do your middle finger and like have someone like you could pay me and then it'll be big news. No,
I'm also wondering like how much of it is really real news. Every time we hear something about
now, and I'm like, really?
I find it hard to, I don't know. I just, after having been there within the last 5 years, I just find it hard to believe that could happen, but well, I'm sure it does.
I read an article about the person that threw red paint on one of the, some big painting or something. It was actually glass over the painting.
Right, right. But
still, it's just like, one, what in the world does that have to do with climate change? Two,
leave the art alone. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. The art's not harming anything. Maybe making a statement or however you want to interpret it, but it's, you know, interpretable.
Interpretable.
Well,
whatever the word is.
Yeah. Well, we're excited about your exhibition.
Well, thanks. I think
it's going to be so lovely. We'll have to throw you a party or something.
Well, the funny thing is I listened to Katrina Berg. You know, she does like exhibitions all the time.
Yeah.
She just got done with a really big one this summer.
Yeah. And she really markets the heck out of these things. She does an amazing job. She'll go on TV and do interviews. She'll go on a podcast and do interviews. And I have, like, this has really snuck up on me, even though, you know, it's been here. But I am just, for my usual self, I am overextending myself and half-assing some things.
Well, I mean, if you need us to help, we can help spread the word. And good grief, you guys share this podcast around. Let everybody see Stephanie's work.
Yep.
Maybe, definitely. Maybe.
This is good marketing for you. Look at us.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd love to see some podcast people there. How amazing would that be?
I know. That would be awesome. Leave notes. Put it under your door if she's not there. Definitely let her know if you come by.
Yeah. I wonder if, I don't know. Now I'm just spitballing and you know, the good idea fairy is all around. So we should do a live podcast.
Oh, that would be
That's a great idea.
That's a great idea. Y'all listen.
You know what we should do actually is each one of us on Instagram do a group Instagram.
Oh.
A live group.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah. Okay.
All right. You're going to have to show us how.
I don't know. I've never done it, but I've watched.
Or we could do the Facebook Live through Artist Soar.
And we are terrible about actually using our social medias for.
We are. We do not practice what we preach, do we?
Well, we do for our individual businesses, but our group,
like
Artist Soar, no, we're terrible.
Yeah. So you guys help us with this, okay? We know that y'all are much better than we are. All right. Well, be sure and show Stephanie the love with her art, as she is. It's a huge display at Low Mill. It's very great. Exciting. And we're thrilled. And hopefully this will help you spread the word.
Ah, thank you. That's amazing. Until next time.
Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Artist Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistsoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that you can get more of us and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.